Welcome to Motivated to Lead podcast, helping you become a better leader. I'm your host, Mark Klingsheim. Hi, everyone. Thanks again for joining us for our podcast this week. My name is Mark Klingsheim with SEMA Partners. Each week, we interview leaders and they share lessons learned from their careers. Our goal is to help you become a better leader. This is our 132nd episode. And if you're new to our podcast, I encourage you to go back and listen to some of our previous conversations. We've had some great guests. We have a great lineup for this year. Today, we're looking forward to our conversation with Craig Clay. Craig is the president of global markets for Donnelley Financial Solutions. He has held a number of executive level positions within Donnelley for the last 20 plus years. And he serves on boards and he's got some great leadership lessons he's going to share with us today. Looking forward to our conversation with Craig. First off, can you give us just a little bit of your career history, a little bit of your story?
Sure. So my story starts, I got a job after college, sort of through relationships, and then quickly after that was introduced to a company called R.R. Donnelley. So it was my second job, but I joined them in 1995, so a long time ago. I moved to California from Texas as a pricing analyst. So I joined the company in the finance organization and had, you know, just a really terrific succession of opportunities. It's probably one of the things I would say to folks listening, which is, you know, listen and look for those opportunities. They presented themselves through finance, which was my background, then lead into sales and into marketing through the pricing organization. I moved to New York quickly after I joined, so in 1997, where I spent most of the rest of my career. So we were at a business unit of R.R. Donnelley that was doing SEC reporting and document management. Over the years, we had several acquisitions that really accelerated the company, the business units. We bought an outsourcing company called Office Tiger, which was incredible to have that sort of experience of a large acquisition and certainly multinational and being able to run that and integrate it. We bought our largest competitor, Bound, during the financial crisis. And then most recently in 2016, we spun out as a standalone public company where we're really focused on being a software company, on turning our legacy, long legacy, into software products across a number of business opportunities and governance risk compliance. So it's been a long time in one place, but was always on the move.
Right. So tell me a little bit, I'd love to ask this question of our guests, thinking back to the time when you were 22, knowing what you know now, what advice would you give a 22-year-old Craig?
Well, outside of the stock tips that I wish I had taken and not taken, and I think from a career perspective, it's to step into the biggest problem areas, to be on the lookout for things that are transformative. I had a number of opportunities because I stepped into things that others saw as problem, whereas they almost always are opportunity. And I think that's the way to have a quick progression of a succession of promotions and of opportunities is to take, you know, potentially things that are complicated, big and hairy, and to dive into them and to chunk them up into smaller pieces and to be successful.
So any advice that you received early on in your career that you wish you would have ignored looking back?
Yeah, actually, somebody on my first day of work said, why did you take this job? This industry is over. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a good call out that, again, when someone thinks one thing is over, something else is beginning. And it's that ability to be able to see through that. And I think the great story of our company and of my time here is that transformation that things could have been over, and we had competitors that are no longer in business. But it really is that there's something else that's needed, and something else that we have an opportunity to provide a solution to. It's classic transformation. When there are companies that do it well, people that do it well, and there are those that don't, because you have to be, taking what you have today and focused on the future, so that you have a future. You can't just deliver where you are today.
So you've kind of risen through the ranks. You've had a lot of different roles and responsibilities, yes, as far as within the company. So you've changed as far as in your leadership style. Thinking back to that first team that you led, and kind of what was your kind of mindset, and what do you wish you would have done differently leading that first team?
I think from that perspective, I think the ability to drive transformation, as I said, versus the current business, it's really easy to get wrapped into all of the current things that are put on your plate. I often tell people that answering email is not work, this kind of constant, ringing of what just has to happen for the current business isn't what's transformational. I think it's as well assembling a diverse group of people of opinion, diversity of opinion, experiences, who think boldly, and who really focus on that larger strategic goal. It's identifying roles that are needed to reimagine and deliver on the company's purpose. It's making sure that everybody understands and knows the company's purpose. And that allows us to take ownership of the total team's behavior, which fosters trust and collaboration, and certainly a commitment to leading the company forward, rather than dwelling on just personal advancement. It really has to be a team advancement and a company advancement.
What are some leadership lessons that you've learned in the last couple of years? Things have changed drastically as far as in the workplace and people working remotely and not together, very often, or, and some have gone back to remote. But what are some things that you've learned in the last couple of years?
The whole world has been upended in the last couple of years. To me, it's really this COVID, post-COVID, COVID again, post-COVID, hopefully quickly, is really the start, I think, of the new economy. It's really the turning of the page of the way things always worked. Where I think I've seen success is companies and individuals who step into this moment in time and where we are. We as a company are permanent work from home. And what does that mean? It means that certainly last year we started to be together again. So we started to have a cadence of meetings, of team meetings, not just Zoom, but in person, of leadership meetings. So it's a opportunity to do both, to meet people where they're at, which is they figured out, I'm in my third floor office. I have a lot more time without commuting to New York City. There's something that I miss organically about seeing people and being with people. I'm trying to ensure that I schedule and replicate that. I'm trying to do the same with travel, that when I travel, I don't just show up in a place and go to a room and get on a bunch of conference calls, or today now Zoom. You actually want to travel and be with people. You want to meet with people. People work for and with people. And I think that in this post-COVID environment, it's a real opportunity to do both, to give people a real gift, which is the lack of commuting, the working from different locations, while still having a company that's connected and a company that has a strong culture.
Talk about culture, keeping that culture healthy during a time where, people have probably additional stress and anxiety and other things that are going on in their lives and working from home. How do you keep that culture healthy during this unique time in our history?
I think it's a few things. The first is recognizing people. There's a lot of goodness that's happening, a lot of positivity that's happening. I think you have to bring that to people. You have to recognize that. We have a system here at DFIN with how we make that happen and how I can personally be a part of recognizing directly or recognizing those who have been recognized. I think it's as well having a culture of candor, one where you can bring feedback, where you can bring ideas and ways that people can improve things. I think having that constant feedback and kind of constant loop of a conversation is far superior than any sort of annual review process. I think it keeps the things from festering. I think it keeps people alive and moving forward. I think you have to ask people about themselves. You have to have a personal relationship and understand what's happening in people's lives. It's really a challenge, you know, and this, especially right now, you have the holidays, the post-holidays, you have an enormous population that had COVID, you know, so sort of dealing with the complexities of that and what it means for their own family, the lack of holiday they may have had, coming back to work while potentially still not feeling well. I mean, it's a real challenging situation. And I think just owning that and stepping into it and being honest and real with people goes a long way. You know, they talk about this great resignation. I think that if you're close to people, that's the most important thing. People work for people. They want to feel valued. They want to feel transparent. They have a way that they can measure their success. Then all the other factors, you know, come into play.
Sure. With being an organization that's continuing to develop and learn, what are some of your encouragements to people that are joining the organization around getting, you know, sponsors or mentors? Has that been a part of kind of your career journey as far as of having mentors and people that are kind of coming alongside to help guide you through?
Yeah. You know, so I think anybody who's joining our company right now, we are giving them somebody at a peer level who's a mentor to make sure that they're checking in and, you know, bringing that person along. And again, just to connect and have a connection, especially when people aren't seeing each other as often or at all. You know, I'm really fortunate that we chose to have our first global meeting in May of 22. We were considering February at one point. Happy that's not the case. So I think people knowing that we'll hopefully be together and we have a nice virtual cadence in the run-up to that, I think will be helpful. Another thing that I'm doing, which actually the idea came from a Brené Brown podcast, where she was encouraging to have reverse mentorships. So what I'm doing is setting up individual and sometimes smaller group calls of new people who are selling a product or new people who are, you know, designing or going to market, you know, and really getting the client facing part of the organization that's out there selling, that's out there talking to our clients, me getting with them to understand, you know, really more clearly what they're seeing on a day in and day out basis, to be able to take some of those ideas and hopefully put them into larger action.
Yeah, that's great. Great thought. So thinking about kind of as you've gone through the changes that you've experienced in a long career at a company, what are some things that you've done, you know, personally, just to keep again, you know, there's people that tend to move every, you know, few years, and you've done that within one organization, but how do you keep that enthusiasm for what you do on a daily basis? And talk a little bit about that, kind of that mindset of how you've navigated kind of your career.
Yeah, I think it gets back to really understanding what's the company's purpose. Like, why are we here? Then why am I here to contribute that? And my team, what are we here to contribute? So it's having a real purpose-driven mentality. You know, in our case, we're a public company. We have investors, you know, have aspirations for us. We have a board, we're a management team. We have a clearly defined destination about where we're going and what we're doing. To me, that's incredibly exciting because, again, it's a transformational story of what we had been to what we will be. And that gives me individually purpose. It gives my team purpose. And I think it gives us something to unify behind as we look forward to what we're going to achieve. And part of that is that we've seen enormous success as we look back over the last year or 2 years. You know, we've seen it with our company performance, with our stock performance. So when you see it resonating, it certainly is very motivational as well.
So I know in every leader has books that they look to that have either helped shape their ideas around leadership and management. Any books that you would put on anyone's reading list that you recommend to your team as well as to others in leadership that have had an impact on your life?
Mm-hmm. My first book that I still give out, and I am not sure who actually gave it to me, but it was a gift when I got my kind of first big new role back at R.R. Donnelley, I'm sure in the early aughts, is a book called So You're in Charge Now What? It's a, you know, checklist of really preparing yourself mentally and physically and emotionally about time management, about managing the expectations of you, your family, your boss, your colleagues, your you know, the people who work with you. It's shaping the team. So talking about how if you're inheriting a team versus building a team and the levels of decision rights that you have around there. It's how to communicate and what to communicate. You know, there's things to avoid. I can remember it's like never criticize your predecessor. You know, somebody is always going to have been a fan of that person. So it's really just a terrific kind of guide for anybody, you know, who's in a new role, just an expanded role, certainly, you know, a new company to jump in and I think to be highly successful just based on some kind of common practices. Another book, I'm a huge Adam Grant fan. So last year he had Think Again, which I have given to my team actually this year because it talks about the need to rethink and unlearn that those skills are more important than intelligence, that it requires much more. And so again, in a transformational situation, we are having to not disavow the past, but sort of celebrate that and move forward. It's a real good call out of how you can unlearn some behaviors while learning how to potentially do them in a different way. Everybody talks about digitization, et cetera. There's very little difference in the digitization of the past to the future. But it's surprising how many don't kind of take the necessary steps to unlearn some of the past in order to move forward.
Yeah, those are great, great books, and definitely encourage you to the listeners to pick those up. Any quotes that you refer to or that you you mentioned to?
Yeah, I again, my big Adam Grant. I think on LinkedIn he's posted. I don't know if it's LinkedIn or Instagram, it's probably both. He's putting out his quotes. You know, we talked about people and connecting with people. And so one of them that I actually used today is talented people are attracted to those who care about them. Adam Grant. So again, if you just are taking a little bit of time to understand and, you know, care about somebody and ask questions and to manage, you know, that process and manage a communication. You know, people are going through so many things, whether it's dealing with elderly parents, whether it's dealing with children, college. I mean, it's just like you never know where people are. And if you just understand that, you can have empathy, you can follow up. It just creates, you know, an incredible connection. he also has one that's don't get stranded at the summit of Mount Stupid. You know, which the underlying story about it is, you know, certainly making a mountain out of something that shouldn't be there, doing things that shouldn't happen. Also, like, don't carry the mountain. You're supposed to climb the mountain, you know, but a lot of people will sort of be like, I'm going to take a hold of this. So he has a lot of good metaphors.
Yeah. Those are great, great quotes. So outside of work, and I think it's probably is more important than ever to recharge outside of work. And what are some things that you do to kind of recharge your batteries?
I love to ski. I love being outside. So I ski, I play winter paddle. So I love being out and about. My kids like to thankfully ski and play paddle. And, you know, then they're high school and soon to be college. So they're all playing various sports. So I'm now finding that I don't dread their sports anymore because I can see how it's going to end. They'll all be gone. So it's fun to be with my family and connect with them and do as much as I can while they're still here.
What parting advice would you give a new or up and coming leader?
I was fortunate enough. Someone took us to an offsite, and it was a class about preparation. And I have this thing called the preparation planner, and it's 7 questions. And I have found that being prepared is not very difficult. It doesn't take a lot of time, and so few people do it. Mm-hmm. And so to me, the advice I would give everyone is to take just a little bit of time to be prepared. When you have a call, a meeting, just to take a little bit of time of understanding, you know, why would that person have invited you? If it's your boss, if it's a peer, if you're serving in some other capacity, to understand the why, just a little bit of time, just a little bit of time to read some of the information. I mean, and I find that people who do that are the just geniuses in the room, just that they've prepared a little bit, done a little bit of research, come with a question, having read anything that's been distributed previously. And it takes for me, you know, minutes, right? Just to be a little bit organized and a little bit prepared. I think it completely sets people apart from those who just sort of show up in sort of this Zoom, you know, it's the next one and you click and you're on and sort of, why am I here? It really sets people apart and I think moves organizations forward.
Yeah, that's great thoughts. And I definitely appreciate your insights today and wish you continued success as you lead your organization and definitely appreciate your time today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Mark.
Thank you for listening to the Motivated to Lead podcast. Please subscribe on iTunes. You can also see a video version of this interview at motivatedtolead.com. This podcast is brought to you by SEMA Partners, helping you find your next great leader.